on ABC Radio Brisbane, you're listening to Rebecca Levingston.
This year, strange and in some cases tragic as it has been, you need humour to get you through. So it makes sense that one of Australia's best satirists has harnessed this opportunity to write a book about the duddest of dud years. Dom Knight has written the 2020 Dictionary, the A to Z of everything that happened this year, the good, the bad, and, you know, a load of stuff, Dom, that honestly I had forgotten had even happened this year. Hello.
Hello, Rebecca.
Did you write this book with some trepidation? Like, maybe this is just a year that people would like to forget.
Well, look, it was a huge gamble, to be honest, because I only worked on it relatively recently. I think I began in about July, so it was a bit of a scramble. And I was still putting entries in, I think, in October. I think the last the entry that I squeezed in was Gladys Berejiklian, with for those who are following her, her traumatic love life. That was in October. So I've been updating as much as I can. But the risk was I didn't know at the time whether things would be looking good or bad when it came out in November. I had no idea if Victoria would be under control or if there'd be more outbreaks. But fortunately, things are looking really good. Queensland border is opening up to most of us who don't live there. And things are looking very positive for Christmas. So I'm hoping people feel okay about looking back at the very strange year that we've had, particularly that period where the nation and pretty much the world was under lockdown and basically killing time as however we could, from baking to strange fashion decisions. It was an odd period. It seems like ages ago now for me.
Yeah, I've quickly shifted my description of the book as humour to, in fact, an important textbook that should maybe in the classroom of every child. I was just trying to look up G for Gladys Berejiklian, but have you put her
she's
on a B?
She's on a B. Oh, I didn't put Queensland in, actually, which is a first for any of my books about Australia. But borders were there, and I started trying to outline the border regimes, but they changed so constantly that it just seemed pointless. Yeah. I figured it would have taken up the entire book. But what a year. I didn't even know you could close state borders. I had no idea it was even possible. But it's all in the health legislation. Clive Palmer sued over it, and it didn't work out. So
did Clive get a mention?
Possible. Oh, I don't think, I've certainly written about Clive in previous, there's Australian dictionaries and so on in the part, Australian dictionary, I put it out last year, I think he's in that.
But yes.
No, Clive didn't make it this time, but yeah. I'll tell you what is in, pangolin is where Palmer would be. I'm just flicking through, so the pangolin was a big part of the year, panic buying as well. So,
yeah, and you've even got a picture of the pangolin curled up.
They're amazing looking things. I mean, I hadn't heard of the pangolin, to be honest.
So tell us just explain why the significance, just in case those listening are thinking, yeah, but why? Why have you got this scaly mammal in there?
So it looks a bit like an anteater, and we hadn't heard of it, but one of the theories about where COVID came from, and we still don't know, is that, they developed in bats, because it turns out bats are an absolute factory for new coronaviruses, and then a bat bit a pangolin, and then I don't know how the pangolin got to the human, but they do use pangolins for traditional medicines in various parts of Asia, and I think they were available at that Wuhan wet market, and the poor old pangolin was called the most endangered animal in the world, or the most trafficked, animal in the world. So they were certainly on conservationists' radars, but I had no clue about the pangolin. So we've learnt a lot this year, which is why I wanted to do the dictionary. So many words we hadn't even really been aware of, like, social distancing, flattening the curve, all of these things we've been talking about all year.
And quite a few acronyms in there as well, a WFH, work from home, a lot of people have done that. There's even a word that describes a day of the week that I think most people didn't know existed, which is under the B section, just between Bluey and Bolsonaro, the Brazilian president who got COVID-19. And the word is Blur's Day. Dom, what is Blur's Day?
A Blur's Day is the state of not really knowing what day it is because all the days are the same. And this applied particularly for me because during that sort of nationwide lockdown period, we took our toddler, our little two-year-old, out of school, and she had absolutely no idea what day, you know, what was going on. She just knew that every day was Daddy Day.
Aww.
And it was quite lovely because spending time with one of the few people who didn't know that the world was going through a huge crisis, I actually really enjoyed that. She just knew that the playgrounds were closed and that I kept saying, oh, no, the swings are still dirty, darling. But Blur's Day, I honestly forgot what day it was a lot of the time. I wasn't really working very much. And my wife was working a lot. So even if it was at the weekend, she was still at her desk some of the time. And we just didn't know. And you saw on the internet, like, everyone was sort of confused, genuinely confused about what day it was. And that hasn't happened before, and I hope it doesn't happen for a while yet.
Yeah, true. But you got to take those moments of joy from the little ones in your life. You are listening to Dom Knight, who has written the 2020 Dictionary. He puts a disclaimer at the part of the book saying, this book is about a terrible, awful, dreadful year and attempts to make sense of its horrible but occasionally quite amusing impact on our lives in the wider world. And it's true, Dom, like going through it, there are so many words in there that until this year just did not exist. Job keeper, job seeker in the J section. If you go through to the Q section, I mean, Qantas is in there, obviously. But just even the cocktail that everyone presumably has had.
The official cocktail. Look, it's a bit of a tricky one because it's no different from just a regular martini that you're just drinking because you're stuck at home and miserable. But that's really, and I think there's been a lot of debate, vodka or gin, and I think, you know, gin causes depression supposedly. So stick to the vodka. But no, it has been. I mean, the quarantine, all the ISO words, the ISO beard, the ISO pets, all these things. We've been coining new words constantly as we've gotten through this year, and it has been really fun trying to catalogue them all and just remember some of the odd things we did to cope while this was all going on. And we were, you know, for the first time in our lives, for most of us, stuck at home for long periods.
Yeah, you forgot in the ISO section alongside ISO beard and just plain ISO bod. Did you mention that?
Oh, yes, ISO bod. Yes. Yeah, no, that look, I had a bit of an ISO bod issue. And other than chasing my daughter, that was about it. The ISO bod, I mean, some people got incredibly sculpted ISO bods, and Instagram certainly was full of people in activewear going on bushwalks.
Very annoying, those people.
So annoying. Yeah. Whereas I went the opposite way. I mean, people without children had a wonderful period of isolation. But the people with kids in primary school, the ones I felt most sorry for, because almost all of my friends, we'd occasionally have sort of Zoom dinner parties and just sit in our lounge rooms and sort of just commiserate with each other. And from what I gather, anyone with homeschooling, the kids got no education, but the one thing that they did do is prevent their parents from doing any work. So I don't know how everyone got through that, particularly in poor old Victoria, where it went on for 100 plus days.
Yeah. And see, that's where the therapeutic element, the surprise therapeutic element of your book emerges, because in some cases it reminds you of what people survived, right? We feel like we've actually come a long way from some of the situations that you remind us of.
Well, I mean, the shortages were the thing. That was when life really started to get weird. First, the supermarket hours contracted, and so you couldn't get in there after 7 or 8 or something, and that was very strange. And then when you finally fought your way into the supermarket, there was no, obviously, toilet paper, but, you know, there was no flour because everyone was baking. Pasta ran out, so I put lasagna in the book because there were many visits to the supermarket where the only thing that was on the shelves was lasagna sheets because everyone went, oh, lasagna's too hard, but bought, you know, the shells or the rigatoni or whatever else was in stock. I've still got about 20 packets of dry pasta.
You're the problem, Dom.
I know.
You are the problem.
And I've got 100 toilet rolls too. I really do. I'm trying to auction them online to people in South Australia.
There's no black market for loo paper anymore. Although I do note that the second zero in the 2020 on the front of your book is, in fact, TP, toilet paper.
That's the thing no one will believe in years ahead. When we tell our grandchildren, as yet unborn, that there was once a point where you couldn't even get toilet paper, they'll either go, I can't believe that, or what's toilet paper? We have a sort of automated zapping system now.
I know. I think there are going to be so many examples of things that history judges with a very judgmental eye, just in terms of what people did and said. Can I just go back to, you mentioned Zoom get-togethers.
Yes.
There's a Z word that I only learnt by reading your book, which is the second last entry in the book, zumping.
This was a bizarre one. Zumping is dumping somebody over Zoom. And unfortunately, there were a lot of breakups. I mean, if you had a sort of a short-term new relationship, it was really make or break. And I think a lot of people were just like, nah, can't do it, too hard, not going to see this person for months. So I would have thought a text would be fine.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're going to come outside your door at 3 a.m. and get upset. Play songs on a giant boombox or anything like that. You can't. It was illegal to do that.
Being dumped on Zoom, is that more respectful because you can maintain some eye contact? Although depending on your internet connection, it might be a bit sort of broken.
Yeah, and also can you imagine, I mean, the big thing with Zoom this year was the virtual backgrounds. Like, can you just imagine, like, someone breaks up with you and then changes their background to like a tropical setting to try and cheer you up? It just wouldn't work at all. So I can't believe that anyone did that, but my research indicated that it was definitely a thing this year, the zumping.
Yes. Well, it is a comprehensive dictionary from A to Z. The first entry is, in fact, arg, which, that's a fair... Well, you've said it's the executive summary of the book. It is, in fact, the executive summary of the year, so well done.
It is.
Of course, had the book not been out now, in the M section, you might have added Maradona, Dom.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of things that have come through since I put it to bed, and it would have been good to put him in there. Chadwick Boseman, one of the most heartbreaking things. We lost a lot of great people this year, so a few tributes to them in there too. I tried to capture whatever happened this year that seemed significant. So it's not just COVID. There's some really cheerful bushfire content in there too, just to give everyone a very jolly Christmas.
Oh, well, and on top of that, my producer Sophie, when she was going through it, she kept exclaiming all of these things that had happened in 2020, which we actually felt like had happened, you know, a very long time ago, like George Columbaris's underpayment scandal,
yes,
the Prince Andrew scandal. I mean, it feels like that actually happened about 4 years ago.
Totally. And I actually had to do research to check all these things because, for instance, the Donald Trump impeachment, all the stuff about Ukraine, that happened this year. And to me, it felt like about 2018.
Hmm.
But if you go back and look at the records, all that stuff in Iran where they assassinated, I think it was Soleimani at the airport, and then 50 people died at the funeral, that was this year too. So it has been a truly shocking year for very, very many reasons. But at the end of November, things are finally looking up, at least in Australia. Outside our borders, things are even worse than ever, I fear. But Christmas is looking positive, thank goodness.
Well, Dom, you're in Sydney, right?
I am in Sydney.
And look, last time you were in Brisbane, I think I gave you a dancing lesson and berated you on State of Origin score lines.
Well, that bit hasn't changed. back to normality resumed itself in that bit. But that was lovely. No, we there was dancing on the sort of riverbank, as I recall.
There'll be none of that anymore. Thank you, Dom.
Yeah.
No touching. But I'm just wondering, give me your honest response as a Sydney person to the fact that Queensland borders have remained closed specifically to you until next Tuesday. What's the mood in Sydney when it comes to Queensland?
I think there's a bit of iffiness, to be honest, because I think, look, I mean, this is a bit of a sensitive subject, because I think we thought we had the biggest risk of anyone. We had by far the most international flights and heaps of cases initially, and we've been adopting a putting out fires approach the whole time, and that's worked pretty well. I mean, to my surprise, to be honest, I'm pretty amazed at what the contact tracers have done, but... the fact that Queensland was kind of just absolutely zero risk about it all, a lot of people that I know, couldn't make it to see newborn babies if their nieces and nephews, even though Sydney might have had a handful of cases at the time. And one of the cynical things that I ask in the book was how much that was election related, because it occurs to me that a Queensland Premier who manages to keep the borders high in Queensland and keeps everyone in Queensland safe to the exclusion of everyone else, that's a pretty successful tactic for an election, and so it proved to be. So I don't know. I think people are feeling a little bit awkward about it. But here's the thing, Rebecca. We can't fly overseas. Our best chance at top tropical paradise is heading up to Queensland. So I reckon the border's going to have one of those Donald Trump caravans of the whole state heading north for an amazing summer in Queensland.
And you know what book they'll be reading? The Dictionary. Dom, congrats. It's a great book. It's a piece of fun, and it is a piece of history, and it's super clever, as you are. So thank you, Dom.
Oh, look, it was a pleasure talking about it. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Dom Knight, the Dominic Knight. You might know him from, ABC Radio in the past, various other radio stations. He's worked with The Chaser. He is a clever dude, and he has written the 2020 Dictionary.
On ABC Radio Brisbane, you're listening to Rebecca Levingston.